Morning, everyone. Môre. Ek is Afrikaans, ja. Alright. Okay, thank you for the privilege. Yeah, it's really an honor for me to be able to bring the message and to do a sermon. I'm Kobus Meintjes, and yes, our pastor is Kobus Meyer, and he has asked me to bring the message this morning. All right. So we've been doing a series on the names of God, to know God. But yeah, this is the third sermon or message in this series. And it is called To Know Jehovah Shalom. You know, Jehovah Shalom, when I see, we all know it refers to peace, shalom. It's a greeting we hear often, the Hebrew, the Jews used to greet each other as with shalom and say hi and bye as shalom. And when I just think of that, the picture I get when I think of that God being Shalom, I just have the one of a father, like a strong father with his small child, and just that feeling how safe you feel and how just on top of the world you feel when you stand next to a dad who is strong and you feel you're at peace because my dad is with me. So that's just the picture I want to give you as we think about who this is, who God is, like Lesnar said, in the characteristic of Jehovah Shalom. So we've heard from Laurette and Kubus as well, just the name Jehovah. So in the in Exodus to Moses, when God came in and he made himself known to Moses the first time. In the burning bush, that was the name Jehovah, or I Am, or Yahweh, and some of the scholars prefer to refer to him to Yahweh instead of Jehovah, but Jehovah has become the more prevalently used name, more general known as Jehovah for I Am. And yeah, so God said there to Moses, I am, and it also sort of meant I am and I will be. So God is, he's existing, and he will always be, he's always the same. And like we see that it's to become, to be, and to become known. So, really a God who wants to reveal himself, to make himself known. He wants us to be able to know him and to be in relationship with him. And in shalom, that word meaning peace, absence from strife, to be complete and to be sound. So quite interesting to think about peace as being complete or sound. So I'm gonna go into the scripture, into the word straight ahead, and I hope it's kind of readable for you. So we're just going to read a bit. We're going to read the part about Gideon. And sien Millie, ek het vir jou gesê, this one is for you. God had an appointment for you guys to be here. Very nice to see little Gideon here this morning as well. So let's just read Judges 6, because this is the first time and the only time, actually, in the Bible where God reveals himself as Jehovah Shalom. And we start from verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. Okay, so he's there hiding. Is usually you would thresh the wheat in the public square or somewhere. Obviously they've been under oppressions. I did it in the wine press. And then the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. And I've underlined some parts just to note and to come back to. Gideon said to him, oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all these miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. So they've been in this, the Israelites have been oppressed by the Midianites, and they've been really actually struggling and suffering. And then verse 14, then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? Okay, so we all know the basic, most of us know the story of Gideon. But just note here every time how that God says, I'm with you, and sort of just reassuring Gideon about what he is to do. So he said to him, oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. And then he said to him, if now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that is that it is you who talk with me. Do not depart from me, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you. And he said, I will wait until you come back. Okay, and then he goes into his tent or something and makes meat, he prepares the meat. And in verse 20, the angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Also note here, just while we're on this, so this was actually, it changed from the previous portion where he said, the Lord will be with you. It's actually God in the first person speaking. He says, I will be with you. So God directly speaking to him. In the next verse, then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. And the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Then the Lord said to him, peace be with you. Do not fear, you shall not die. So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord, and he called it, the Lord is peace. So we just read up to there, up to verse 24. And that altar, the Lord is peace, that is in Hebrew saying Jehovah Shalom. That was the name of the altar that he actually built. All right, so here's the whole story. We're not going to go further. We know that after that, he has to go and do a few things. First, he had to go to Baal, the Baal altars, and then the army had to go and fight the Midianites. But we just want to focus on this part. So to know Jehovah Shalom for Gideon, what did it mean for him to know? Because this was quite a defining, you know, happening moment there, what happened for him to be able to now go out. And he realized that this is Jehovah Shalom, God is peace. And so firstly, he had to believe that God is with him. All right? So the angel said to him that the Lord is with you. So we all know we can hear something and not really know it. He maybe didn't really realize that. The Bible doesn't clearly say, because it just said the angel was sitting under a tree, so he might have just looked like an ordinary man speaking to Gideon. And he could have thought it's a prophet speaking to him and just saying, the Lord is with you. They didn't really believe, although he said, the angel said to him, the Lord is with you. Did he really believe that the Lord is with him? And we can see, no, he actually says it himself. He says, I know and we know that our forefathers saw the miracles and God was with them, but we don't see it. The Midianites are killing us. And yeah, but he, in a way, said, I know, but he didn't know that God was with him in that moment. And so often it happens to us. We need an experience, and he needed to experience to get proof to know that God, the Lord, is really with him. And then obviously, of course, when the angel struck that meat with a staff and this fire came out of the rock and it just consumed, the meat was just gone, it just burnt up and he left. I think he got quite a bit of a fright and a shock. And he knew God is with him. God was there. And he said, and he was actually quite, I guess, fearful. He said, alas, it's like, ochats. God was with me, he said. I saw the angel of God face to face. So then he believed God is with him. And then from there, you know, it's still a frightful thing to know that God is with you, but you have to also know that God is for him. Because otherwise, before that, you wouldn't have peace if you don't know that. And then God knew he had to make him stop shivering there in his pants. So he said, peace be with you. Do not fear. I'm with you. And that's the opposite of peace, is to fear. So he said, peace be with you. To picture this and to make it kind of like into an example, I just thought, say South Africa had to go and we decided we need to attack another country. We have to go into war. You know, that's not a situation of peace at all. That's the opposite of peace. And us being South Africa, a small country, you definitely won't feel peace at that moment. And say that America says they've got our backs. They're backing us. And actually, you know, the head general of the U.S. military, he flies over, he comes and he speaks to our president and he says, we are behind you, we will help you fight this other country. Will you feel peace? Probably not, still not. Even though, okay, so picture okay, America being the greatest superpower, supposing to let anyone feel safe because they've got all the artillery, everything you need. And the thing is that military general, he's a messenger. He's only a messenger. You still need to trust him, have integrity that what he's saying is actually going to happen. You want to see proof of what is going to happen. And in a sense, he's a messenger, just like this angel was a messenger of God. And in this, he actually represents the full force of the U.S. Army. So when he says that, it's almost as good if he is a trustworthy person. Let's take that. Then it's as good as the U.S. Navy just pulled into Table Bay Harbor, as far as you can see, the ships, and the U.S. Air Force just, they're all just busy landing at Waterkloof Air Force Base, and the border is lined with the troops of the U.S. Army. It's as good as that. And I mean, so Once you see that, I think, will you have a bit more reassurance that you are safe, that you're going to be okay? Probably. It's more convincing. But yeah, just to bring the point across. So yeah, for us, yeah, to trust God and believe God, we sometimes want to see proof, and Gideon wanted to know that this is going to be so. So that's why you have to know God. You have to know that you can take him by his word. Yeah, so just looking at peace and what peace means, this peace that God gives, it's to be complete or sound. There are a few verses, I just took a couple of verses, where different translations in the Bible actually translates peace into different meanings, similar meanings. And it all sort of corresponds in the Hebrew a meaning for peace. The first one is peace is the absence of fear. Proverbs 1 verse 33. And I pray and I trust that anyone here this morning who feels fear or anxious about anything, that the God of peace will give you that absence of fear, absolutely. Proverbs 1:33 says, "But all who listen to me will live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm." So, absence of fear. Then being well. It's an interesting one, being well. So, to think that when it goes well with you, you have peace. And it's obvious. And I think I was thinking about it in the week, at work and so on. You just get those guys or some people just, it's as if some people just get that easier than others. Some people just, it's just always going well with them. And they just, it's almost like it refers to peace. When I define it, I say there's an external peace, which is like between countries, there's no war. And then there's an internal peace. And some guys can just get over whatever there is, whatever challenges and things they're facing. In a way, they can just, they can get over it and get it under their feet, so to speak, and just be well, just be... Be good. Get up in the morning. I know these beautiful mornings when we get up, it's easy to see it's going well. It's such a beautiful morning. The sun is rising. But not every morning is like that. Not every morning is easy. But in any case, so 2 Samuel 18, 28 says, "And Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, all is well, peace." So some translations say, he said to him, peace. Others said, all is well. and that was just, he was a messenger who came back and he had to give a report back to David. Then harmony or order. So 1 Corinthians 14, 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but God, he is the author of peace. Or harmony or order. Different translations also say that. And ability to rest. 1 Kings 5 verse 4, "But now the Lord of God, the Lord my God, has given me rest, peace on every side, and there is no adversary or disaster." So it's to be able to feel at rest. And then, so interesting one is to be silent. Zephaniah 1 verse 7, "Be silent, hold thy peace in the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is near." Hold thy peace. All right. Now, like we said, we need peace in our lives for different things. Sometimes it's to be brave and to take on something big that you know is going to be difficult and you're going to need faith for. Other times it's maybe for just you suffering, and it's hard. Life is hard, and you need to have that reassurance. So this is an example of the song, It Is Well With My Soul. And just a little bit of the story in the background behind this song. So the author of this song, It Is Well With My Soul, is named Horatio Spafford. Horatio Spafford. He was in the 1800s. He was a lawyer and a Christian in Chicago. Quite a successful man in Chicago at that time. But his family went through a lot of hardship. So what happened actually, first of all, they lost their first and only son at a young age. And then they had four daughters, and his wife Anna, and they actually decided, well, in between he lost his business. There was a fire in Chicago apparently and burnt down his whole business. He got it up and running again. And then after all of this trauma, him and his wife decided they're going to go on a family vacation from Chicago to Europe on a ship. So it's now 1873, and as you can imagine, it didn't turn out well. This was before the Titanic. It's about, I think 30 years before the Titanic. So this was quite a big, well-known event where he sent his family, because 4 days before they were going to go, he had urgent business, so he couldn't go with them. So he sent his wife and his four daughters, they were still small, on the ship, on the voyage to Europe, and he stayed behind. And in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, the ship was called? The French ocean liner, Ville de Havre. And in the Atlantic, it actually collided with a big, strong, steamship. And in 12 minutes, the whole ship went down under and sunk. And so a big disaster. 313 passengers were on the ship, and 224 of them actually drowned. So most of them, of which all four of his daughters, his wife Anna actually got saved. So there was a sailor, and the sailor spotted her and picked her up and took her to Wales, to the coast of Wales in Cardiff. And the picture, this background of the slide, is a telegram that she sent. It just said, "Saved, alone, what shall I do?" And this is the message now that Horatio gets back in Chicago. So the stressing time, and he got onto the next ship to go to her. And so they say about 4 days into the voyage, the captain showed them, this is where the collision, this is where your daughters basically drowned in the middle of the ocean. And they say, because after this, so he went, but on this voyage, this is where he actually wrote this song, It Is Well With My Soul. And you just think, how can you have peace in this terrible time? Afterwards, they still carried on that. They had two more daughters. There were still other things that happened and so on. But eventually, he and his wife and his daughters, the older daughters or the younger daughters, they actually went to Jerusalem, and they did missionary work in Jerusalem for the rest of their lives. So clearly, they overcame this challenge. It didn't totally derail their lives. And how do you get through this and still be well and still be, just live a good, healthy relationship life? And so we read, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. So we can, just saying, whatever happens, we can still know that it is well with our soul. Yeah, so it's quite a touching story. In another quote from a Bible commentator, Kremer, he says, "Peace is a state of untroubled, undisturbed well-being." So to have that at all times, it seems difficult. So the question is, I guess for all of us, how do you get that peace? Because I think, is there anyone who don't want peace, that kind of peace? No one. We all want peace. How do we get that peace? And sort of a caution, this is, of course, the objective is not the peace, but the objective is to know the God of peace. We know that. And God just has so many benefits to knowing Him. And how do we get that peace? It's not a formula. It's not a step-by-step thing, but it's really through relationship. But I would like to suggest just how do we get to know, and how do we get to know this God of peace? So Psalm 46 verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God." Psalm 46 verse 10. So I think that is a good starting point in whatever is going on in your life. If you can become still and to believe that God is really I am. God is really existing. He's here. He wants to make Himself known to you. And just a few different translations of that same verse. The Amplified says, "Be still and know, recognize, understand that I am God." So like Gideon, he knew God is with him, but he had to really understand God is with him. "Stop fighting" is another translation, "and know that I'm God." It's almost like to say, stop your work, stop whatever you're doing, just stop, be still, be quiet, and know that I'm God. And then also, give ye attention and see ye that I am God. So also again, to really just understand with your mind. And then that verse goes on to say, "I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." And really what this is worship, right? Because that moment when we just acknowledge who God is, we're actually worshiping Him for who He is. More of this Psalm 46, I'd just like to read from verse 1. "So God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear." So again, the opposite of peace is fear. "Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake and with its swelling," Selah. And then at the end it says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord God, the God of Jacob, is our refuge." Selah. So really just let that sink in. Just overthink that we can have peace instead of fear when we know that who God is, that I am God, and when we know that the Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord is with you, He said to Gideon. So that is one way. Then just shortly to others is of course the Word of God helps us to know the Lord of peace. There's just a quote up there that, but we know that we get to know God and His peace just through reading the Bible. As John Butler, also a commentator, says, the Word of God is the great peace giver. And then besides the Word, also prayer. So Philippians 4 verse 6 to 7, I think so many people have this as a fridge magnet or somewhere written down, that we know that when we really seek God and pray to God with thanksgiving, it says there that God will give us peace that surpasses all understanding. I mean, the understanding that we can't understand when people go through terrible things, how they can have peace. That little verse at the bottom, that is from what a friend I have in Jesus, or what a friend we have in Jesus, from Scriven, Joseph Scriven. He was an Irish poet and a believer, and he was in America. He went to America, and his poor mom was left alone behind in Ireland. And he used to write his mom letters, and she terribly missed him, but he couldn't really go visit her. And so he wrote this song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." This is what he wrote to his mom, just to comfort her, just to say, "Mom, just pray. It's okay. Don't worry. I'm still alive in Chicago," or wherever he was in America. So, how to know Jehovah Shalom? For us, personally, we saw now Gideon. For us to know that God is the God who is with you and the God is who is for you, firstly, it's a good place to start to be still, like when I saw. So Gideon, he actually, he became still, because he was, remember, he was threshing the wheat. And then when the angel started to come and talk to him, I'm sure he stopped threshing the wheat, and he had to pay attention to this angel, because they went into quite a thing, and he later on went to make a meal. So he had to be still. And we know that he took a while to actually believe that that the angel is God. And for us also, we can, we know that God is with us and that He is for us, but we don't always really believe it. You know, we can admit, and I can admit, I mean, day-to-day basis, but also, like, you know, there's so many scriptures and verses we know the stuff. Like, I'm thinking of Psalm 23, it says, "Even through the valley of the shadow of death." And we know that Psalm, our good shepherd, David says, "I shall not fear, because you are with me." We know it, but do we still fear sometimes? Yes, we do. And we also want proof and testimonies, stories. We want to hear God is working. We want to see things are happening in our lives the way that the Bible says and what God says in His Word. So just to become still, and it's like we sang in the beginning, that wonder, wonder of God. Enjoy that. Like, yeah, just it's really worship. It's really to actually. That's why I like to, I need to sometimes just step out into the garden if I have a quiet time, just to have a bit of wonder of God. Just to get away from my ordinary, my normal, where I don't seem to be able to experience God, and just experience that wonder that, wow, this is beautiful out here. God, you are amazing. Then word and prayer, what Gideon did was, of course, prayer. Like, so he interacted with the angel. He spoke to him, and he was talking to him. He was telling him, and he was, in terms of word, he was actually recounting the promises of God, saying how that they've heard about all the miracles that God did, and he was telling him about his hardship with the Midianites and saying, what's going on here? We don't see breakthrough. How can you say, God, that you are with me? And that I will save the Midianites. And so for us to come to that place of peace, as well as also really to spend that time, tell God whatever it is, and really speak to him about it. And and that's why lots of guys, you always read about these old preachers and these evangelists, great evangelists, who just say they can't go without 2-3 hours of prayer in the morning every day, because otherwise they can't make it. And you sometimes wonder why, but then I realize for me to come to that place of peace, where I sort of discuss with God and to come to a breakthrough where I realize, okay, I'm at peace. God, you've got this. My day that's long ahead, or whatever is uncertain to me, okay, I'm not at rest. God, you will do this. I trust you now. It's really that coming to a place of peace. And then when you walk away from there, you have thankfulness in your heart, joy. I mean, Gideon, he was so thankful and grateful. God said to him, you will not die. Be at peace. I'm with you. And he was going to attack this nation, and he had joy in you. And he built the altar and he made an offering to God, and he called it Jehovah Shalom. So for us, maybe that's advice, that maybe that we can learn from Gideon in that way. I know personally, so I haven't been, fortunately, I don't have like such war stories to tell like Gideon does. But if I think about just my biggest things where I need faith, or where I feel I need peace of God, even just for me, just this, just to come and Quibus ask me, okay, will you do a sermon? This is for me, this is a place where I need to choose between fear or faith. I need to choose, because it's not natural for me. It doesn't come just normally. So for me, it's a thing of, okay, I'll go and become still about it, and I will remember, and then it's really that thing. I have to remember why I'm doing this. Why must I go and stand here? Who am I doing it for? I always say, you're preaching to an audience of one. I'm doing it for God, and knowing who I am, and when God says, I'm with you, the Lord is with you, it's actually an honor. You realize that for a very important being or person to say, to walk with you and to be with you, it shows that he values you, he honors you. So whatever you do, to know that God is with you, it's really saying that you mean a lot to God. So that motivates one and inspires one. And then also to remember, recalling what God has done, like remembering and just thinking of God's goodness in my life and remembering, but okay, I can actually come and share something. And just that being calm and still. And then I have to go and count the cost. I have to go and look at my diary and say, yes, in 2 weeks' time, just make sure, okay, just be also realistic here and say, okay, I'm going to fit it in, or no, this 2 weeks is, it's really, I'm just going to flunk it if I do this. Because counting the cost is also, there's preparation that goes into it. You go out in faith, but you bring something to the table. And then once I've done that, and I see, okay, then I receive peace. I have peace. And then I can go and obey. I can say, yes, Kubus, I will do a sermon. And I can prepare, thankfully, with the right heart attitude, not, I need to now do this thing because Kubus asked me. But yeah, I'm sure we all, and on a day-to-day basis, we need to pray and really be still for different reasons to get God's peace. So Jesus is the one that we need to be thankful towards for having God's peace. We know that. If you haven't made your life and your future right with God, then this is the only way we can have actual ultimate peace with God for our souls, is through Jesus. And the gospel says, the Bible says in Acts 10:36, this is the message of good news for the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. So yeah, that's good news. Woohoo! Yeah, that is good news. And Jesus is actually called, one of his names is the Prince of Peace. So how awesome is that? Jesus also said in John 14 that my peace I give to you. He said, not like the world. He gives peace like no one else can. Just another song that I had to quote here as I got into the songs and the old hymns and things. This was actually a beautiful hymn. It was quite long. I wanted to put it all on. But about putting your trust in the blood of Jesus, in what Jesus did. And it speaks of Jehovah Shalom. Such a beautiful, if you want to look it up, it's called I Hear the Words of Love, from the 1800s or something. I hear the words of love. I gaze upon the blood. I see the mighty sacrifice, and I have peace with God. And it carries on from there. And just how that the love of God, you know, Jesus really a symbol of God's love. When we believe in Jesus, when we have Jesus as our Lord, we know him, we realize how much God loved us. And that we can take, we can walk in that. We can take that identity of being loved by God, we can take into our day. Just another anonymous quote here. Peace rules you. Peace rules your day when Christ and his word rules your mind. Because peace comes not from the absence of trouble, but from the presence of God. Just thought that was quite powerful and good. Okay, so concluding, Jehovah Shalom. God is the Lord of peace. So we have now confirmed it through this. We can understand why Gideon said, God is the Lord of peace. And it's just one of his names. I can be still and know that he is God and that he is with me. I can know that he is Jehovah, that I am God, and that he is with me. And I can believe it. That's where the thing comes in of being still in wonder, believing that he is with me. And I can have peace because I know I have peace with God. And we know that it's only through Jesus that we have that peace. So that is the awesome good news this morning, that God wants to give you peace. And just to remember that the objective remains to know him, to trust him, to obey him. Not for anything else. And when we do that, he gives us his peace.